We receive hundreds of cases per year, and it's considering the resources that we have, it's very tough to follow the pace. But we try to make sure that every single claim is looked at with the greatest diligence, and every case is a human being. We're not looking at this from a bureaucratic point of view, just as numbers. We're really taking this very seriously. We have been able to solve or to clarify very few cases in the past reporting period. Only 65 cases were clarified. That is that in only 65 cases were we able to locate a person or find out what has happened to him or her. But we notice that there is a more positive and encouraging attitude on behalf of states when they respond to our requests of information. There is a definite, more positive attitude on their part, and this is helpful to find out the fate or whereabouts of the disappeared. Mm-hmm. Now, I should mention that we still have 43,000 cases pending, which is enormous, and we're making sure that states who are still called upon by us with regards to these cases are aware that we are concerned with this situation, and we follow up on all of these cases.
Are there countries or regions that are more affected by enforced disappearances?
Of course, there are countries that have more complex situations for all sorts of reasons. Countries that have undergone an armed conflict, for example, or that have patterns of human rights violations. So we try to use our mechanisms, in addition to the cases, take active measures to accompany states eradicate this phenomenon.
And to that point, who would you say most often is reporting these disappearances? Is it the families? Is it co-workers, members of the community?
Mainly families. You will have parents who will come and look for their children who have been disappeared. Of course, often grandparents will also come and look for their children who were abducted with their parents or who were born in detention. You may recall the grandmothers of Plaza de Mayo in Argentina, and these associations have been very active in fighting against enforced or involuntary disappearances. In fact, the Argentine civil society is one of the main groups that has pressured the United Nations in 1980 so that the working group would be put together and that a special procedure would exist. And it's thanks to the hard work and the courageous work of family members that we are able to help families and associations look for those disappeared persons.
Would you say that the United Nations is in some sort of last hope for these families, given that, you know, it must be complicated for them to approach state actors, given their possible involvement in the situation? Would you say in that sense the UN has a very strong role in helping these families and these victims?
There are different types of things that we bring in terms of support, let's say. I think one of the most important ones that I've noticed personally is that we listen to the victims and their families. And often, we're the first ones to do so. Many family members go to the state authorities, to the police, and say, my son has disappeared, and people don't believe them. And this has been going on for years, and nobody listens to them, nobody writes down their complaint. So we're often the first ones to listen to them and to believe them and to do something about it. So that in and of itself is something that I think is fundamental. Of course, we have the capacity to engage with different types of authorities, and that's exactly why we were created, why the UN has decided to set up the working group, is to help us facilitate the contact between the families and the state authority. And of course, I understand that having the support of the UN in engaging this dialogue with state authorities, victims have another avenue to address this issue with those who can change the situation in their respective countries.